I'd like to welcome each one of you here today and those who are listening on the radio and those who are watching online. I'm just really excited today to be able to bring this message to you. It's as Susan said earlier in our program that it was about women's ministries, but as I was reading through it and studying it and really reading it, I thought this is a message for all of us. It's not just for the women, and so I hope that each one of us today will receive a special blessing from this message. It's one we hear often, and I'm probably not going to tell you anything new today, but it's one that we need to hear, and it never gets old. And so I hope that you are as blessed by it as I've been this week, as I've read it many times. And so I just hope that that you can walk away with hope today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for all that you give us, for the light that you give to us, that you want us to shine in this dark world. As we talk about this today, Lord, I just pray that each one will be blessed and will feel encouraged, will have hope as they leave this place. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning was found in Isaiah 61, and I'd like to read it again to you. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah calls us to arise and shine because the light is come. Ellen White defines that call using the imagery of arise and shine in a powerful message. If ever there was a time in the history of Seventh-day Adventists when they should arise and shine, it is now. No voice should be restrained from proclaiming the third angel's message, and the proclamation is part of our service to the world. Let none, for fear of losing prestige with the world, obscure from one ray of light coming from the source of all light. It requires moral courage to do the work of God for these last days. But let us not be led by the spirit of human wisdom. The truth should be everything to us. Let those who want to make a name with the world go with the world. Arise and shine, for your light has come, says the prophet Isaiah. The word arise means to get up, to stand up, to come into notice, to be recognized, to ascend. Today, I hope that you and I feel encouraged to get up, to stand up, to ascend, to come into notice, and to be recognized. To arise also means to move on to the next level or a higher level. Have we moved on to the next higher level? We live in a world that has shrunk to our fingertips. We have Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Facebook, Twitter, laptops, tablets. Does this high-speed, high-tech performance indicate humanity is rising to high levels of civilization? Some say it is. However, in the midst of so much progress in knowledge and communication, there is a darkness that is repulsive and frightening, a darkness that cuts across nationality, age, education, culture, and profession. A darkness that challenges the humanity of each of one of us and diminishes the spirituality of all of us. What is this darkness? Look around. Consider your church. Examine your workplace. Inspect your home, your college, your surroundings. Is there darkness in any of these areas? Yes, there is darkness. There's gross darkness, defiling darkness, and defying darkness. To us living in that world of darkness, the darkness outside, the darkness inside, And to us who want to minister to others comes Isaiah's call. In verse 1, it says, in Isaiah 61, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." In verse 2. Isaiah is addressing a nation that will go into the darkness of Babylon's bondage some 120 years after the prophet's ministry. He knows that Israel has suffered many dark periods in the past. To a people so used to living in the fear of darkness, to a people who seem to have lost all hope, the prophet predicts freedom from fear, hope in the midst of despair. He seems to be telling them, "Darkness shall come, but it need not envelop you forever. The night of hopelessness must give way to the bright and glorious dawn of sunrise." The promise and the challenge of God is a simple one: arise and shine. Arise, come out of fear. Let darkness of abuse flee. Shine in the glory of the light that comes from God and Him alone. It is so easy for us to ignore what Isaiah says. Yet if we want to weather the storms ahead of us, to face the moral, social, and cultural threats that overwhelm us, we must learn to allow God's word to speak to us. So what is it that Isaiah is saying? First, a clear message. God himself is the light. The psalmist has already given us that assurance. In Psalms 27, verse 1, it reads, "The Lord is my light. Light, whom shall I fear?" But Israel, as often happens with all of us, was mistaken in its own strength and saw within itself a light that seemed sufficient for the journey ahead. And that self-centered approach only led to bondage. It is to these imprisoned people in self-made chains, that the promise from the word of God comes. Arise from your self-delusion and look yonder. There is the Lord, your light. With that light in your hand and in your heart, arise and shine. When Israel shines that light, God's light, the nations around will come to experience the brightness of your rising. That's in verse 3 of Proverbs 60. The brilliance of the dawn, the radiance of a new day that has come upon you. But that new day is not one of self-glory. It is a mighty event of global witness. God not only liberates Israel from the darkness of bondage, he makes Israel a medium of light. This is the means of letting nations know that God, who himself is light, will banish every form of darkness and let his light shine brightly. His light will confront all human darkness. That prophetic promise is as relevant today as it was in Isaiah's time. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus does not bid the Christian to strive to shine, but just to let his light clearly shine distinct rays to the world. If we know we are called to be the light, we will choose to let that light shine through our life, our actions, and ministry. The radiance of the Father's glory will dispel the social, the relational, and the abusive darkness that surrounds us in the world today. But what does it mean for us to be God's light in the world? How does the light of Jesus shine through us? The light of Jesus shines through our recognition that all human beings are created in God's image, and all of us are children of God. As members of his family, we must recognize the oneness of the entire human spectrum. North and south, east and west, black and white, male and female, young and old. When that unity is recognized, the light that shines in us and through us will dispel every shadowy corner of darkness, including the darkness of abuse and hatred. The light of Jesus shines through our acts of love and grace. As the called ones of the Lord, we are the fulfillment of Isaiah's vision. Given that context, Jesus designates us as his light, reflecting the radiance that streams from him. He calls us to a life of meekness. He bids us to hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. He expects us to reflect him through our mercy, our purity of heart, our quick efforts to reconcile with adversaries, our sexual fidelity, our truthfulness, our refusal to take vengeance, and our prayer and fasting. These are obedient works reflecting the light of Jesus that shines through us into the darkness surrounding us. The light of Jesus shines through us when we produce the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits are love in a world of hate, joy in times of sorrow, peace in times of conflict, patience in the face of irritation, kindness when life is rough, goodness that overcomes evil, faithfulness that dispels dishonesty, gentleness in a terrain of roughness, and self-control in a world of selfishness. Isaiah points to the holistic nature of the light that shines upon us. When the light of God dispels the darkness of our hearts, it brings about a total transformation of life. Our spirit is transformed by the Spirit of God, so that we are no longer our own, but his, to do his will, to walk his way, to witness his glory, to embrace our brothers and sisters, and to shed light in order to dispel all darkness that surrounds us. Our mind is freed from the shackles of sin and darkness. The seat of our thoughts is free to embrace God's vision for life, to face the darkness of the world, and to cultivate the renewing of our minds, so that we may reveal what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God that Romans 12:2 tells us. Our body comes under the renovating power of the Spirit. We recognize the sacredness of the body as God's temple. The responsibility of guarding that sanctity extends not only to our own bodies, but also to those of every human being with whom we come in contact. Our passions ascend from the abyss of darkness to embrace the pure and sanctified life that God has set for us. The light so transmutes our emotions that we shun the forbidden zone in interpersonal relationships and stay within the confines of God's love and care. Our relationships are no longer defined by the benefits that we may derive from them, but by the transforming warm-heartedness of God's light. Our relationships are not governed by the blood in our veins, but by the blood of Jesus that makes us all his children. Yes, as bearers of light, we must expose darkness. We are the light when we stand for justice and truth in the public square, at work, in our homes, and in our churches. We dim that light when we indulge in pride, jealousy, strife, abuse, and immorality. If we hate our brothers and sisters, if we indulge in abuse, we are no longer light and can no longer walk in light. Isaiah urges a life of service. The idea of light is often understood as something distinctively glorious appearing in great, powerful demonstration. But the prophet teaches us that true light appears in service. Service is a profound and frequent theme in Scripture. Isaiah already anticipated in chapters 42 and 53 that the Messiah would come as a servant with no outward splendor. His appearance would be like the least of those around. Yet hidden in that normality was the true power of the Christ. The power of love, the power of humility, and the power of self-sacrificing service. Jesus lived among the poor. He worked among the downtrodden and rejected, lifted the afflicted and the abused, and he finally died on a cross. The most glorious manifestation of divine power was demonstrated with no outward form of glory. The greatest manifestation of power and glory was revealed in darkness and ugliness. This is why the gospel was foolishness to the Greeks, scandalous to the Jews, and a joke to the Romans. None of them could understand the meaning of the servanthood of Jesus, nor could they comprehend the redemptive grace that flows from the cross. The true light of Jesus appears in service. The call to arise and shine is linked to light that comes from the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is light that dispels darkness. It is light that implies an invitation to serve, to rise to what we are created to be. Since the first promise of God to Abraham that the faith community is to be a channel of blessings to the nations, God's people are to be an example. If we lived up to the calling of being servants, we would be blessed. And in our obedience, the world would be blessed. The erosion of darkness would be significant. Isaiah's message is a challenge for us to be the light that shines through and dispels darkness. Jesus charges us, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Paul reminds us, "For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." That is our calling, and we must discover ways to live out that call as his community of disciples. Clearly, our task is to carry our lamps into the shadowy corners of the dark corners of the world and to brighten the corners exposing darkness. Ellen White encourages us to make a difference in our communities, even when we face great personal difficulty in illuminating the darkness. In Testimonies to the Church, Volume 6, it says, "God has scattered his children in various communities, that the light of truth may be kept shining amid the moral darkness that enshrouds the earth." The deeper the darkness around us, the greater the need that our light should shine for God. We may be placed in circumstances of great difficulty and trial, but this does not prove that we are not in the very position assigned us by Providence. The challenge for us today is to make time to make a difference. We are the light of the world. We will dim that light, even obscure the light, when we indulge in pride, jealousy, strife, abuse, and immorality. We are called to go far and wide and to shine in the dark places. Each one of us individually reflects the glory of God. We are challenged to leave our comfort zones and illuminate the world. As we stand for justice, grace, and truth in the public square, at work, in our homes, and in our churches, your time has come. Arise and shine. On the screen it says, if you'll read this with me, "For with you, Lord, is the fountain of light. In your light, we see light." Go and remember, arise and shine, for your light has come. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Every spring, John and I like to go to Nashville down in Brown County. We like to go through all the little shops and just enjoy a beautiful day out. And a few years ago, we went into this little shop, and on one wall, the lady had two giant windows. And on these windows, she had these all different size and shape, multifaceted pendants hanging on there. And when we walked in there, the sun was shining through that window, and all of those multifaceted pendants had light shining through them in different directions all over the place. There were lights on the ceiling, lights on the walls, lights on the floor. And I was so excited. I just thought it was so beautiful, you know, the way it lit up in there. And I thought, I've just got to have one of those. And so I bought one, and I took it home. And in between our house and our garage, there's an area where I go in and out the door all the time to go to my office. And so I thought, well, I'll hang it in that window, and then that way I get to see it every time. The problem was, the sun didn't shine directly through that window. And so I didn't get that same effect that the sun was shining through the one there in Nashville in that store. So I had to move that pendant and put it in a window where the sun would shine directly through that pendant. And so today, when I think about that, I think about you and I, and I think about all the different multifaceted parts of our life and how we can reflect God through all the different areas of our life. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what our message is today, to arise and shine and show who God really is in all the different parts of our areas of our lives. We touch our family. We touch people that we work with. You know, when we go to the grocery store, the kindness that we show others is reflecting God's light. And I just pray today that you feel encouraged to arise and shine and show God's glory and show his light to the world. Our final song today, our last song, and I'd like for Susan to start playing here, is This Little Light of Mine. I love this song, and when the kids sing it, it's always a lot of fun. It's a little different than the way we normally sing it, but you'll catch on real quick. And so if you'd like to stand up, arise, and shine as we sing this song, This Little Light of Mine. Of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine all around the neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this encouraging message today. We want to shine for you, Lord. We want to shine as you fill us up, Lord, with your light. We want to reflect you in all the different facets of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be able to do that as we leave this place. Every person that we come in contact with, Lord, help us to shine you through us. We love you, Lord, and we just look forward to this next week full of blessings that you have prepared for us. Help us, Lord, to leave this place happier, hopeful, and ready, Lord, to shine for you. We thank you and all that you give us and do for us, Lord. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.